The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this first Sunday after Christmas Day, St. Luke 2, verses 33 through 35. And Jesus' father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. On this fifth day of Christmas, I want to begin by sharing with you some words I came across in reading this past week, and they're words which relate to the words of Simeon, which we heard in today's Gospel. Try to listen carefully to the words. The author of these words speaks of a world which will obviously divide itself more and more sharply into Christians and non-Christians. The universal church is today, it seems to me, more definitely set against the world than at any time since pagan Rome. I do not mean that our times are particularly corrupt. All times are corrupt. I mean that the world is trying the experiment of attempting to form a civilized but non-Christian mentality. The experiment will fail, but we must be very patient in awaiting its collapse, meanwhile redeeming the time so that the faith may be preserved alive through the dark ages before us. Now you might think that those words were written yesterday, but they were in fact written way back in the year 1930, more than 90 years ago, and as it happens, the year this church building was dedicated, more than 90 years ago. And they were written by one of the great literary figures of the last century, who was a convert from Unitarianism to the Christian faith. The author is T.S. Eliot, who, having been born in this country, eventually came to live and work in England. And then there also are some words of Louis Bouilhet, words which were written almost 40 years ago. Bouilhet speaks of a world no longer pretending to be Christian, but indeed presenting us at last with a full realization of what an atrocious kind of paganism only a world boasting of having become post-Christian could produce. So we've heard some words from more than 90 years ago, and some words from almost 40 years ago, and here we are today. I don't think it's necessary for me to speak in detail of everything that these two Christian men were pointing to. We all know all that only too well. In the gospel read on this first Sunday after Christmas Day, the aged Simeon in the temple at Jerusalem blesses Mary and Joseph and their 40-day-old son. And then he says to Mary that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And then Simeon prophesies that a sword will pierce through Mary's own soul, a prophet that was so sadly fulfilled when Mary stood beneath the cross of Jesus. As an old hymn puts it, at the cross her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping, where he hung the dying Lord. For her soul of joy bereaved, bowed with anguish, deeply grieved, felt the sharp and piercing sword, felt the sharp and piercing sword, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Behold, this child is appointed for a sign that is opposed. And so just 40 short days after Jesus' birth, the shadow of the cross appears, as it had in some sense appeared even before he was born, when there was no room for the Holy Family in the inn at Bethlehem. And so the Savior of the world, through whom the world was made, had to be born in a stable and laid in the cattle's feeding trough. How well we know the words of St. Luke's Christmas story. There was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. And then there are those words in the prologue to St. John's Gospel, which we heard on Christmas morning. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Or in the words of old Simeon, this child is appointed for a sign that is opposed. And so it has continued for 2,000 years. In our Lord's life and death, the great love of God beyond understanding is revealed. But in our Lord's life and death, the great sinfulness of fallen humanity is also revealed. For when perfect love came into this world, perfectly ordinary human beings like you and like me rejected that love and finally killed him, because his perfect love had exposed our lovelessness, our desire to live our lives just as we please. And of course, that's how it's been from the very beginning. We are told that our first parents ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which means that they wanted to be their own judge of good and evil without any interference from their Maker, having listened to the whispering of Satan, "You will be like gods." But God didn't abandon his disobedient creatures to their fate, but promised to send them the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. At this joyful Christmastide, we are celebrating the coming into this world of that promised, victorious seed of woman. For as St. Paul says in the epistle for this day, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, to redeem us. Simeon prophesied that the child born of woman was appointed for the fall and rising of many. And the fall and the rising depends entirely on our response to this child who calls us so gently from his manger bed. As Paul Gerhardt sings, softly from his lowly manger, Jesus calls one and all. You are safe from danger, children, from the sins that grieve you, you are free. All you need, I will surely give you. All you need, I will surely give you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.